Well, hey, while we're coming on up here, good morning. Sorry, I sprung that on you. Let's try it again. Good morning. It's kind of out of nowhere. Thank you, Mike and Landon and Kelly, for leading us before the throne this morning. Anytime we get a Keith Green song in the mix like that last one, my heart leaps for joy. I almost took my lighter out of my pocket and started doing this, you know. I actually don't have a lighter in my pocket, but it's okay. If you do, it's really okay. Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's Tony, and I'm just so thankful to be gathered together here as a church, as a family. And if you're a guest this morning, thank you so much for being here. We hope that you feel like a guest and that you do feel welcome here. And like we always say, man, we just really hope that this time is a real blessing to you in the truest and most real sense possible. Our vision as a church is together living the beautiful way of Jesus. That's what we're all about. Together living the beautiful way of Jesus for the glory of God and the good of the next generation. And right now, we as a church are right in the midst of a very unique year-long journey of learning together to commit to what has often been called throughout the history of the church a shared rule of life, which is just simply a set of shared kingdom practices that we commit to and learn to do together, that we learn to integrate into our lives, into our homes, and into our life together as a church. Right now, we have five practices within this shared rule of life. They're going to come up here on the screen. Right now, we as a church are learning to be a people. We're learning to be a people who engage the scriptures daily. We're learning to be a people who bring the good news of King Jesus and his kingdom everywhere we go, in word and in deed. We are learning to be a people who do meaningful work and who enter into meaningful rest. And the fifth practice that we've added in afresh in this season, we are learning to be a people who devote ourselves to prayer. And as part of this whole year-long journey, we just sense that one way to help embed this deeper into our lives and into our culture as a church is to take some Sunday mornings and to highlight real stories of people among us who are just simply trying to do this, who are trying to together live the beautiful way of Jesus, and as part of that, trying to integrate this shared rule of life, these practices, into their lives. And so we are having these storytelling Sundays every, I don't know how many weeks, every 6 or so weeks. And if you remember, about a couple months ago now, Chris and Amy Todia shared their story of that fourth practice, entering into meaningful rest, and their efforts to try to integrate the practice of Sabbath into their weekly rhythm, setting aside 24 hours to rest and renew. And so today, we have another Storytelling Sunday, and Hannah is here. Hannah's on staff here. We're also married. Everybody say hi, Hannah. And she is going to be having a conversation with our dear friend and sister in the Lord, Chris Karen. Everybody say hi, Chris. Yeah, so I just want to encourage us, brothers and sisters. I know you're going to do this. I just want to say it out loud. Let's lean in together. It's a really brave thing to come up here, just to come up here and to talk into a microphone. And it's a really brave thing to share some of your story. And so I just want to encourage us to smile big, to lean forward, to listen, to be encouraging, and to be ready for what the Holy Spirit might do in our hearts and in our lives through what's shared this morning. Amen? Amen. So let me pray, and then I'll just turn it over to you two. And so, God, we as a church, we thank you for Hannah. We thank you for Chris. And right now in this moment, we pray that you would make your presence just really apparent to them, to each of them. Give them peace and joy as they share. And God, we pray that this would be so fruitful in all the ways you want it to be. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed and said,
yes, so this is Chris, and it's such a privilege to give space for each other's stories. And like Tony said, it's brave to share a part of your story. It's brave to do that with one person. It's brave, very brave to do that with a room full of people. It's also vulnerable. So as she vulnerably shares, I just invite us to vulnerably listen. And we could talk about what that looks like, but I just want you to use your imagination and in the softness of your heart right now, what does it look like to vulnerably listen to Chris? On the way here, I was thinking about how 5 years ago, I bet you would never have imagined that this is where you would be, like this particular room, this stage, and even 10 years ago. I mean, I know that wouldn't have even occurred to you at all. So, Chris, I will let you talk, I promise. I feel like Chris is like,
You can totally talk, it's fine.
Chris has been a part of Northeast for 2 years, and she's been in Fort Wayne just 2.5 years. So just to start, could you share with these brothers and sisters where you were before that and what led you to coming here?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Maine, and...
Shout out in the back.
Thanks, Eric. And so I became friends with the Woods out in Maine, and they're the ones that introduced me to Jesus. And in those early years and just learning who Jesus was. So they had moved back out here. This is their hometown. And they invited me about a year later to come out to visit. Prior to that visit, I had been praying and feeling like the Lord was calling me somewhere. Wasn't sure where that was. Was actually praying about Europe.
Because you have lived in Germany before, right?
Yeah. Fort Wayne was not it in that season of my life. But I came out here, spent a little over a week, hung out with NeighborLink, did some projects, and just kind of like explored the city and really enjoyed it. And towards the end of that visit, Eric had asked, are you still looking to move? And gave me the name of a different nonprofit out here that was looking to hire. So that's how that visit ended. And the plane ride home, I just prayed, Lord, like, if you have something for me that you're, like, directing me to, like, make that crystal clear. Like, close doors that should be closed and, like, open those doors that are going to lead me to you and, like, what you want from me. So a few more years of, a few more months of praying and processing and just trying to listen and lean into him, I felt like this is where he wanted me. So I gave a 2-week notice at work, and in those 2 weeks, sold or donated everything that I owned, other than what fit in a van, a small van, coming back to here, and moved out here with no apartment and no job, but just trusting that he was going to provide because this is where he was calling me. 2 days after I got here, I got a call from Eric saying that there was an opening at NeighborLink, and he asked if I wanted it, and yeah, so that's where I've been ever since.
So what was the amount of time between your visit here and then you moving here?
I think I came out to visit for Easter.
Okay.
And then I was out here by the 1st of July.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And then could you share with them what you do at NeighborLink?
Yeah, so I am, my official title is Neighbor Relations Coordinator, but basically I just get to be on the phone with people all day and listen to their stories and hear their needs and just like sit in that with them and get to pray over them. And then I get to bring those things to our team and to our volunteers, and the magic happens from there with our volunteers. So
if someone just calls into NeighborLink because they have a need, yours is usually the first voice.
Yeah.
They hear if they just call the number. So isn't that amazing? I love that. I would love for everyone to get to hear a part of your story of meeting Jesus. And I know part of what's hard about doing this is there's like time constraints and stories have lots of twists and turns, as you know, with your own story. So I would love it if you could share a little bit about life before Jesus.
Yeah, so I grew up in a Catholic family, but we didn't go to church for a variety of reasons. So I never really knew Jesus. I never knew that Jesus was love. That wasn't something that I knew growing up.
Did you go to Mass at all? Was that a part of your rhythm or not really at all?
Sporadically. Okay, so, but that was more like when I was younger, like high school on, no. Okay. And so that was that. And then I also grew up with a really violent brother. So like the norm was daily physical abuse and just fearing for my life. I didn't have many friends because of that. And like at no time growing up did I ever have a friend over to the house.
Because life kind of revolved around him and his issues.
Yeah, exactly. So like my entire like childhood growing up, like I wasn't able to have a voice and couldn't like say or share what was happening. He did end up spending 18 years in prison and got out last spring, but we don't have any connection or relationship for safety reasons.
And I think, you know, when you hear that, you automatically think, where were the parents in all of this? But for you, is it, I don't know, how would you describe their role in protecting you in that situation? Like, were they a source of protection? Do you feel like they were just surviving and they were traumatized themselves? And what's your relationship with them like now?
Yeah, so I think that they were traumatized. They were trying to survive themselves. I think they were doing, I like to think that they were doing the best that they could do at that time. But like growing up wasn't safe. And like that was just my norm. I didn't know any different. So I don't have a relationship really with any of my family back home. When my brother got out of prison, they chose to let him move back in with them. So when that happened, that kind of closed the doors for that.
And their main way of protecting you from what we've talked about was to just kind of keep you locked in a room, right? Like to keep you safe in that way by keeping you out of the...
Yeah, they actually like built a wall in my bedroom and put a locking door so that I could
be safe.
Yeah, be safe. And that's where I stayed. So,
yeah. I know that's so hard to share and to know. I'm sure that's just part of all that you could share about that. But then could you talk about what it was like to meet Jesus?
Yeah, so. Like, that's the fun part, because, like, I always say the same thing, that, like, I spent my entire childhood and life fighting Jesus, but it took him bringing me to an MMA gym for me to finally find him.
Do we have a shout-out for MMA gyms in the house? Okay.
The back corner, obviously. So I was...
Yeah, what led up to the MMA gym? Because
it's pretty
it's
random.
A hard jump to make friends.
I had actually been really sick and had just gotten out of like the ICU, and I found out I was diabetic at that time, and they're like, "You need to do something to change." And I got home that night and got on Facebook and was just like scrolling in like a community board and. That's when I saw a post from Mandy Wood asking if like people were interested in like a beginner's boot camp type of class and to contact her. And I was like, okay, so I'll give that a try and see what happens. And that's where I met the Woods. It was at their gym. But that's how I ended up there and never expected that I would stay there or that I would find Jesus there. So I was saved in that gym. I went to church in that gym and was baptized in that gym.
Can you just talk about that picture a little? You kind of already did, but now that they have the visual.
So like this is one of my very favorite pictures. I ended up also working in that gym. I would be there early in the morning before it even opened, and like I would just do all the cleaning and get things ready for the day, and I would have time between when I got done with that and when people would start showing up. And like my favorite thing to do was just to like sit on the mats and lean up against the cages and just sit there with my Bible and read and pray and just like looking at the light shining through the windows and bouncing around the bags. And like it was the most peaceful space.
I can see like on your face like what that time meant to you, because we talked about those years of childhood trauma, but the MMA gym didn't happen right after that, right? There was a period of time where you were kind of dealing with what your childhood was like. So when you walked into this MMA gym, what had the years leading up to that been like? Sorry, we're going back a little bit, but yeah. Just when you described like trying to do like college and adulthood.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, So I totally like left home as soon as I could, and went to college, thinking like, oh, I'm going to like start this new life and it's going to be great and amazing. And like, I'm going to do all of the things that like everybody does. Yeah. And school was really easy. It's always been easy for me. But life was not easy. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to interact with people, have healthy relationships. I had a failed engagement, was struggling with alcohol and drugs, and was really just spiraling during that time in my life. But I was also really good at faking it and letting people think that things were great. All of that, that unresolved trauma and isolation during childhood had really broken me. I wasn't successful at that. Like, I ended up moving back in with my parents. My brother was already in prison at that time, but I had moved back in with them.
So then you end up at the MMA gym, and then that picture that kind of represents an encounter with Jesus. And then that, I think there's another picture I would like you to talk about. The one with the Bible.
Yeah. So this is my second favorite picture that I have. And so the day that I was saved, I remember saying that I had felt like my heart had been softening. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I just knew like in that moment, I felt like my desire to like follow Jesus and to learn more about him was greater than my desire to just keep living the way I'd been living. So this picture we took at that gym, and it's my Bible and gloves, and like it just like symbolizes this fight that he fought for me, and that he loves me, and that his promises for me are true, and that at my absolute worst, like, he still thought I was worth it. So it was a while after that I had come to him that I found the verse in Ezekiel, and it was, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. that's what this really represents and symbolizes for me, like that heart of stone being turned into a heart of flesh, and him fighting for me. And even during worship this morning, the guy's part talked about like having like a softening heart. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yes, Lord, like that's it. So,
yeah. And as we all know, you know, it's really easy to tell a story with like a before and then an encounter, a moment, and then an after, and to make those a real huge contrast for drama. But most of our stories, there is an encounter with Jesus and then an after that's not always perfect or smooth. So I was just, I would love for you to share a story from that time of your life after meeting Jesus, but then you're also still having to, you know, figure out what does it mean to follow Jesus.
Yeah, so that was not always easy. No part of it's been easy, really. Yeah, like I felt like during that season, like I was learning how to live for the first time, and really like figuring out like, okay, like this is okay. These things are okay. Like he wants this from me. One of the challenges that I did have during that season was I was staying with friends for a period of time while I was looking for a new apartment. And I ended up getting COVID and pneumonia at the same time. And like that was still when it was fairly new. But I was like so sick that they asked me to leave so that I wouldn't get them sick, which there was no place for me to go. So I actually ended up in a COVID homeless shelter. And I was there for a couple of weeks and just so sick, and like there wasn't room in the hospitals for people. They were trying to keep the homeless population in one area with that. And yeah, I slept like the entire time, really almost died from it. But when I was no longer contagious, I was still really sick, but wasn't contagious. So they gave me a bus ticket and just said, here you go, and kicked me out. And there wasn't any place in the city to stay. Like, all the shelters were full. So I ended up staying in a barn that belonged to somebody that I knew, kind of, like, in their, like, playroom in the barn, on a blow-up mattress, just recovering for a couple of months. And, like, I had never felt, like, so alone and so isolated than in that moment. And that, like, since coming to Jesus. But I also, like, I don't think I would trade that time for, like, an easier time or anything else, because, like, that's when our relationship really, like, solidified, I feel like. Like, that's when, like, I became super close to him. Like he was the only thing that I had. And, like, yeah, like, I think, like I'm grateful for that time, as hard as it was.
Wow. And then what is, well, I guess we're kind of off script a little bit, which happens.
Okay.
Yes. What is, can you share what your relationship with Jesus is like these days and what is helping you grow?
So.
Because that time you just described, so COVID, how many years ago was that? Would that have been?
That would have been.
You've been here like 2.5, 4 years ago?
4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, how is my relationship now? It is great. It's challenging, and I feel like it's everything in between. So there are days that I feel super close to Jesus, and then other days where I just feel like I'm a tantruming toddler, like screaming out to him and asking him to find me as if he doesn't already know where I am. And then there are days where I feel really confident in my faith, and then other days where like a mustard seed literally feels like it's too much. So yeah, my relationship's all over the place, but I think that's pretty normal.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but before we started talking about rule of life around here and practices that we engage together, I just remember, I feel like it was at a fundraiser, but I could be wrong. The NeighborLink fundraiser. One of the times we were having a conversation, I just remember Chris saying, like, I really want to grow. How do I grow? What I want to go deeper. I'm doing these things. I'm in this group. I'm doing this. But I really want to grow, and I really want to grow deeper. And I just love that that's your heart posture. And so as you're describing what your relationship with Jesus is like these days, we understand the dry seasons or the seasons where we don't know where he is and he feels like a father that's abandoned us and we're crying out to him, where are you, God? We know what that's like, but I love also that you've had this like hunger and desire and you're staying at it. But was there more you were going to say about that? Because I kind of just jumped in.
I mean, yeah, like, and even like one of the things that I've really enjoyed since we've been given like the invitation to join the Rule of Life has been the idea of like us getting to like enter into that practice together. Like, and like Tony's story, like right in the beginning, like that idea, like that we're on this trail together and that we're just walking it and we're doing it together, and we just come upon these new trail markers, and like those trail markers are showing us what our next steps are, and like we get to take those steps together, and I love that like I get to choose to actively engage in that walk, and that each step that I take is bringing me closer to Jesus. It's like, it's giving me what like I asked for. So I think that that's what's meant when we say the beautiful way, like it's beautiful, it's hard, but like it is beautiful. So yeah.
What are the obstacles or challenges to walking with Jesus for you lately? That's a very vulnerable question. I feel like several of us would not want to answer that, probably. But we talked about this ahead of time, so I'm not putting her on the spot. But what are some challenges these days?
Yeah, so for me, not allowing distractions to become between, me and my relationship and my desire to, well, my desire to grow in Jesus. Not getting stuck in those distractions when they come, because the reality is, like, we all have distractions. Like, they may be different for each person, but, like, those distractions are there. For me, those distractions are, like, the trauma from my past. And I'm still in therapy for that, still healing from those things, but, like, those things are still very real in my mind and my heart. Like the depression and just the darkness of that. So, yeah, like that's one of those challenges that I faced. Another challenge is actually being single and not having family. So I go home to an empty house and I sit on a couch by myself, or I sit at the dinner table.
Well, not totally by yourself. And that brings us to our third picture. This is very important.
Sayla.
Isn't she a looker? Sayla is just so gorgeous.
Yeah, she has been, she's a goober. So yeah, I do have the dog. She doesn't really understand rule of life, but we're working on it. Everybody's at their own pace. So like one of the other things is like on Sundays, like I go home alone. I don't like get in a car with a family and get to kind of like go over and like talk about the process of what we're being called into on each gathering day. So that's hard. So like I have to actively seek out other Jesus followers and other people who are trying to do the rule of life. And I've made some great friendships since joining Northeast, but it's not always easy to enter into someone else's day-to-day, especially when like they're doing their best to do life with their kids and their families and follow Jesus. So,
yeah, and I think we haven't laid out all the practices in our shared rule as a church. One of them. Sorry, I don't know what I was going to... My brain just, like, stopped. But I was going to say that community is not one of the practices because we think that the shared rule, the practices we do in following Jesus, that's not one practice. That is, like, we do the whole rule together. We should have a deeply personal relationship with Jesus, and it's individualized, and mine is different than yours, and that's beautiful, and we should be doing these in togetherness. So when she shares that like, I'm single, how do I do that? You know, that's like a very real challenge. And I'm really thankful that you're willing to be honest about that. And I see you really showing up in people's lives. So Chris is not staying at home. When will community come to me? I'm going to wait here until she, even though that's hard, she is taking so many steps and showing up. She, Halloween on our street is chaos. Like, I can't even describe it to you. Chris showed up with Selah. She got an invite. She showed up. And that was probably one of the most chaotic days you've had, nights you've had in a while. But she just shows up for people and with people. So I just wanted to say that I feel like you are actively kind of meeting that challenge that you have by showing up in people's lives.
Thanks.
So, was there anything else you wanted to say about that? No? Are you sure?
That's good.
Okay. So let's talk just a little bit now about the rule of life and what that looks like for you. So I'll just keep that kind of wide open. What practices do you want to share about?
Yeah, so I'm trying to work through like all of those practices and figure them out. Some have been easier than others. So engaging in scripture, like I've been doing like a Bible in a year, watching the Bible Project videos.
Can I get a shout out for that?
I'll rewatch Sunday's message during the week. I'm in a women's group, and I really like the Every Moment Holy liturgies right now. I feel like those are really great, and everybody should look into those. Rest, I'm just bringing it up because like meaningful rest is not something that I've figured out yet. And like doing these things, like they're not easy. And like that's one that's not easy for me. Like I haven't figured it out. And like, what does rest look like when you're already single and already alone and already have all that time during the week? Like, so like, what does that look like? And I haven't figured that part out yet. Prayer, which is the most recent that we've done, has actually been, I would say one of the most impactful things, that I've learned engaging in rule of life and learning that like there are so many parts to prayer. In this past season, I feel like the Lord has shown me the importance of being vulnerable and asking others for prayer for myself, which isn't something that has been comfortable doing. I've invited others into really big prayers, and even when my faith isn't strong, knowing that someone else has that faith and confidence and is praying for me really does make a difference.
Can you, just so we can all have imagination for that, can you share what you've done specifically, what steps you've taken in obedience
with
prayer with others?
So even before like Rule of Life became a practice last season, I had reached out to the elders in prayer and just that level of vulnerability is scary. It's scary at first, and we've since come together multiple times in prayer. And I think one of the beautiful things is that through that vulnerability, like, and through that prayer together, like, we've been able to see, like, the Lord is there with us. Mm-hmm. Like, he's there in that moment that we're praying, mm-hmm. and he's there in that time after that. Mm-hmm. And
hasn't there even been, I don't remember the details of this, but I was a part of some of that prayer time. I feel like you had a dream, but you didn't share it, but someone in the room brought up stuff from the dream.
Yeah.
So we've had some experiences like that.
Yeah, and like that in itself is just, like, that's so powerful because, like me having a dream about something and then the next day, like, speaking with the elders and us praying together and somebody saying, like, hey, I feel like the Lord is, like, saying this right now. And to be, like you guys didn't know those things. And, like, that was what I had dreamt. And then, like, sitting out here and for you to be, like, hey, like, aren't those trees, like, beautiful? Like, the colors and, like, all of that. And, like, that was in that dream as well. And so, like, I just imagine, like, that was so powerful for me that, like, what would that have been like if, like, that, like, I hadn't been willing to share. And, like, if you guys hadn't been willing to, like, share and speak into what I was asking as well. So, yeah, for both of us to be able to see our parts come together, to see the Lord bring those parts together, is just really powerful.
Yeah. I think that's part of the invitation to us from Chris's story, is that in our walk with Jesus, even in doing practices together, we have to make our needs known and our difficulties in following Jesus known. We don't want to just share, oh yeah, I'm sharing the good news with this coworker. We want to share that, but we also want to share, I cannot figure out how to do Sabbath rest, or I really need prayer, and I need someone to have faith for me in this area because I cannot conjure it up myself. We have to make our needs known, and we have to be vulnerable. And Chris, part of her story, and not doing this in a pretentious way, I don't think Chris gets up in the morning is like, I'm going to go show everyone my vulnerability and lead the way in this. She's been faithful in following Jesus to email the elders and tell her she has need for prayer. Like, that's not just brave, that's obedient. And then it invites all of us that pray with her for our faith to grow. So that's an invitation. And the other invitation, I feel like I'm inviting people on your behalf with your story, but I feel like the following Jesus and also naming that it's hard, that our life with Jesus sometimes takes a winding path, that it's not always we have this before life, we meet Jesus, and then everything is great after. We follow Jesus and take these steps, and it can be long and slow and hard, and we need each other to do it. Before we pray for you, is there anything else you would share or say to them? Really anything. Anything you can think to share, and it's even okay to take a moment and think about it.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think you really, like, summed it up, like, at the end. Like, the only thing that, like, I wanted to share was that, like, I wonder what it would look like if we became a body of believers whose norm was to be vulnerable with one another, sharing our struggles and our needs with each other inside and outside of these walls. So, like, my prayer is that 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 happens and that does become the norm, and we all are invited into that and want that same thing. So,
yeah, amen. We're going to pray for Chris now, and Melanie's going to come up and pray for her. And if you could, just as a symbol, could you extend a hand as if we were laying hands on Chris? And we'll pray for her.
Yeah. Abba, Father, we just thank you for Chris's life. We thank you for the way you've called her, the way that you have equipped her to respond. And God, thank you for her story and her testimony, her vulnerability and her courage to speak it to us. God, I continue to pray for Chris, that you will be continually drawing her to yourself, that you will provide for her, that you will bring many around her to encourage that faith when she doesn't feel like she has it. God, I'm just so grateful that your work in her life is being glorified here today. And God, I pray that joy and peace and hope will be the fruits that you continue to grow in her. And God, will I just join with Chris in her heart for us as a body, that we would be a people devoted to prayer, that we would be a people who bend our knee to you and ask for our needs, and that we glorify you together as we watch how you meet them, Jesus. And it is in your powerful and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Hey, can we thank Chris and Hannah? So it's 11:30, and we are still going to make space here to come to the table together, and then there's going to be a really quick announcement, and then we'll say the blessing, just so you know. So Super Bowl doesn't start till like 6 or 6:30, right? So we're good to go right here. Every week, at the pinnacle of everything that we're doing when we come here, we come to the table of the Lord's Supper. And this morning, we remember that Jesus, in this prayer that we've been walking through, he invites us to pray, "Forgive us." It's coming up on the screen. "Forgive us our sins or our debts, as we also have forgiven those who sin against us." That word "forgive" can be just translated. It means release. Jesus invites us to pray to our Father, "Release us from our sins." And then he used these word pictures: "Release us from our debts that we have with you and with other people. Release us from our trespasses." And the table of the Lord's Supper reminds us each week that through his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection back to life from the dead, Jesus has made a way for us to experience just that. He has made a way for us to experience total, full, and real forgiveness. The bread at the table, his body given up for us on the cross. The cup at the table, his blood shed on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins, all of them. Which means that all of us who are in Jesus right now, those of us who have put our faith in him, who've trusted, who've given our allegiance to King Jesus, all of us have been forgiven. Totally released from all our sins, our debts, our trespasses, and we are now set free to live in a new and beautiful way in him. And the table also reminds us of that second part there in this part of the prayer. It reminds us that a central part of this new and beautiful way is then turning around and forgiving others. Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us." And so we come to the table, brothers and sisters, totally free, totally forgiven. And as we approach this morning, as we approach the table, I want to invite us specifically to consider, is there anyone you need to forgive today? Is there anyone that you need to release from their sins, from some debt, from some trespasses? And if so, maybe you need to text somebody right now. Maybe you need to step out there and make a phone call. Maybe you need to go across the room to somebody. I don't know. But Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. And so let's do that as we approach the table. The way we're going to do this, as we always do, there'll be a line here and here and two lines out the back. There's a gluten-free option at every one of these tables. And when you get the bread and the cup, take them back to your seat, and I'll come back up here and we'll take those all together as one. My brothers and sisters, when you are ready this morning, you're free to come.